This is the Nocti Podcast, breaking down the questions and working toward solutions that affect our industry. Welcome to the Nocti Podcast. This is the Nocti Business Podcast. My name is Eric Hulkran, and this time around, we're going to be talking about employee retention. And joining us on the phone right now, Ann Gilchek. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I am great. So another day, another podcast. This time around, we are talking about the idea of employee retention. And one of the things that when you and I, before we did this podcast, we sat down and we talked a couple different times about this idea of someone shows up for a job and they think it's one thing because they've got this perception in their mind. It turns out to be another thing, and they kind of rotate out of the job, and then the person with the job is left trying to figure out why that person left. And you and I have talked about this idea of how to improve employee retention. So I'm wondering to get your thoughts, one, on how you do employee retention overall, and two, some tricks of the trade that can help people keep retention higher and maybe have a better perspective coming in to the job so they have less turnover on the other side.
Sure. Well, you know, I think there's lots of things that contribute to employees, you know, departing earlier than what you would hope. You know, there's the whole idea of the environment that you create and how much value you put on your employees and how you show them that they're valued. But the other thing I think that's really important is the idea that is the person that you're bringing in a good fit for the job that they're going to do. So we all, you know, anybody who has hired people before has had to write a job description, and it's really hard, right? It's really hard to really know what somebody is going to do, and we all try and throw in the and other duties as assigned as much as possible because it is hard to do. But I think sometimes when you're talking about more technical skills, you know, it's a little bit easier in some cases to nail that down in terms of exactly what they're going to have to do. So I think that's important going into the interview or any sort of process that you're using to choose an employee, is to make sure that they really understand what those duties are going to be. When they start the job, and making sure that they feel comfortable with those and that they truly do know how to perform those tasks.
And so when you talk about the last part, which is, I could talk to you for hours about this last part because you just have so much information, but you talk about, like, make sure that they can do the duties that are assigned. And in the first podcast, we talked about this, that when somebody comes in and you decide that you're going to offer me a job and I get an interview, that is likely the best Eric you will ever meet in your life, right? And then I show up for the day of the job, and now we've got to figure out if I can actually do the gig. But you guys have a different answer. So how do you figure out if Eric can actually do the job before day one?
Well, we would, a lot of our clients, all of our clients obviously incorporate a technical skill assessment into their process of hiring a person. And that technical skill assessment comes in many different places within their process. So we have some clients who interview first and they get the best possible person that they think, and then they give them a technical skill assessment to make sure that they really have the technical skills. Some of my clients give lots of people a technical skill assessment, and then they narrow it down to the people who can do the job, and then they bring them in for an interview and determine which one's going to be the best fit for the company. So it can be done in lots of different ways, but, you know, I think that piece of the skill assessment and really focusing in on the duties and tasks, and one of the things that we are very that we really incorporate into what we do with our clients is we have them take their job description, or we'll help them, and they really have to do a crosswalk of their job description with the blueprint of the assessment that they're going to give these people that could potentially work in their organization, to make sure that the duties and tasks that we have listed that are going to be assessed on that test are really match the duties and tasks that you have on your job description of what they are actually going to have to do in the job. And when you can find a good fit of a skill assessment with your job description, and then that person takes the test, you know, you really get a good feel for what they can do. And, you know, the other thing is, it's really important to talk about the score reports that you get back in a technical skill assessment. We don't just give a score report that gives you one overall score, so the person scored a 60%. We give you the percentage correct in each of the duty areas. So, you know, there may be one duty area on the test that's way more important to you than another duty area, and it's important to get that full picture of, well, this person scored really well in robotics, and we do robotics here, but they didn't score so well in, you know, PLCs, and their job isn't necessarily going to have a lot to do with PLCs, but that's okay because they scored high in the areas where we need them to score high. The other important piece about that score report is that maybe you still hire the person, but now you know where you need to train them.
Sure.
So, you know, and that's really important too. You know, we've really been trying to talk about this skill gap and how we have all these open jobs in manufacturing. Well, maybe you aren't going to find the perfect fit of person who can really hit the ground running, but maybe you will find that person who can start the job, and now you know where they need to be trained. And that's another important piece, I think, in retention, is training people where they need to be trained so that they continuously feel successful.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of hit on something that is what a lot of people talk about, but this is just kind of a next level version of it, is that idea of like hire for culture, train for skill, right? So if you find this ideal candidate and they're a little bit deficient on this test, and you can go, well, very quickly we can shore that part up, but they'd be perfect in our organization, this is a great way to figure that out.
Right, absolutely. And I think that people feel invested when you give them a technical skill assessment, and they really feel like, wow, I must have scored high enough on this test for them to give me this job. And so now I want to do an even better job because they know that I have the chops to do it.
And so once they're in the work environment, like what's your recommendation on continuing education? Like, is that a quarterly thing? Is that a monthly thing? What does that look like as far as continuing to make them feel like that moment where they go, well, I must have done really great on this test because I got the job. How do you kind of, you know, scale that forward as they continue their education while still in the job?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, every organization is going to do their training a little bit differently. And I think that every organization has to, because, you know, they're still trying to pump out product. So they need people who are actually doing the job. But I think supervisors are really a key component of that. Supervisors need to be able to recognize where somebody needs additional training. Maybe it's as simple as a job shadow. Maybe they job shadow somebody else who has been there a little bit longer. Maybe the supervisor becomes the person that they shadow to make sure that they can do those pieces of that job. Some organizations have a full training program, and they know exactly where you need to go within that training program. You know, if you're a brand new organization that has never really done anything like that, I think that you can take your job description and you can take a technical skill assessment, and you can determine where or how you feel like you're going to be able to get these people trained.
Very cool. So if somebody's listening to this, Anne, and they love the idea as much as I do of doing this assessment, how do they get started with you guys? How do they reach out? What is the process like? And walk me through what that looks like.
Sure. They can go to our website, which is NACTIbusiness.com. And all over our website is our phone number. I won't read you the phone number, but it's all over our website. So when you call, you just ask to speak with somebody from NACTI Business Solutions, and we're really going to help you through that website. So if you kind of want to explore on your own, there's a link right at the top that says assessments. We have our assessments broken out into three different categories. The first category is entry level, and that's kind of just what you would think. It's somebody who is, you know, starting out in this career or in this job, and we want to test them at an entry level, kind of in an entry level area. The second assessment battery is our experienced worker battery, and again, just like it sounds, it's not entry level. It would be kind of a higher level in some of those same job categories. So you would think of this like maybe somebody who has you want somebody who has maybe 3 to 5 years of experience or somebody who's more at a journey worker level. And then our last battery of assessments outside of customized, which we can do that also, but for standardized assessments, that last battery is advanced skill. Those are our much more focused assessments. So you're going to see a lot of assessments in there in maintenance. And really, that's where it's key that you're doing a crosswalk between your job description and that assessment blueprint. So there's a general maintenance, there's a lead maintenance, there's, you know, all sorts of maintenance assessments that have different titles. And it's really important to do that crosswalk. Again, if you call our office, we, you know, somebody is going to help you walk through all of this. Once you find a couple of blueprints of assessments that you think might work for you, we're going to get you review copies of those assessments so you can really get down to the nitty-gritty of what are we testing, because we want to make sure that it's a good fit for you. It's no good for anybody if you're giving an assessment that isn't a good fit for your job description. So, you know, there's no obligation to us to become a client, to review our assessments. The only time, you know, we charge you anything is when you actually order an assessment. So, you know, we really like to work with our clients one-on-one so that we can really help them develop a whole assessment program so that they really, you know, are getting the right people in the positions that they have open.
Awesome. As always, Ann Gilchuk joining us from Nocte Business. You can get them online, noctebusiness.com. Ann, have a wonderful holiday season, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks. You too, Eric.